Thanks for joining us for the Executive Series. Today I'm speaking with Jeff Wilson, who is the Chairman and Portfolio Manager at Wilson Asset Management. Jeff, it's really good to talk to you. Thanks for the time.
No, thank you.
Now, it's a pleasure to be talking to you, having just reported results for the funds, which have performed really well over the course of the last 6 months in a period that has been quite volatile.
Tough period. I mean, the early part, the volatility wasn't that bad. I mean, just the last few months, obviously, the volatility's increased significantly. I mean, our largest listed investment company is WAM Capital. And that's about $1.3 billion of assets. And over the last 12 months, very pleased that we've been able to outperform the market by about 4%. So we've been able to continue that outperformance, which we've been able to do most years, for the last sort of 20-odd years.
So over the long term, you've outperformed the index by about 10%, which is a good outcome.
An amazing outcome. Whether we can keep doing it, who knows? I mean, we've got a process, and our process is really, pretty much like you or I would manage our own money, to sit in cash unless we can find an opportunity that we think we can make money in. And what we're looking for is undervalued growth companies. Yep. And we'll buy them when we can see a catalyst that's going to change the valuation. Yep. And types of catalysts. An easy one is like an earnings surprise.
Yep.
Yeah, one of our bigger stocks in WAM Capital was Nine Entertainment.
And that was a surprisingly good result, wasn't it?
It was a good result. And we were of the view that it would be a good result.
Yep.
All the analysis we've done, looking at how their shows have been rating, we were pretty confident that it would be a good result. And the actual market, it did surprise the market.
Yep.
And that's the type of catalyst we're looking for that can re-rate the stock, which it did.
Indeed. Afterpay Touch has been another one that you've been...
And that's probably a little bit more of the new world.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, when you're trying to buy those undervalued growth companies, you've got to make sure you're buying them as cheaply as you can.
Yep.
Now, like ideally, we like to buy a company on a P of 10, growing at 15 to 20% per annum.
Yep.
But with Afterpay, because it was a technology rollout, you're taking more risk.
Yep.
And it really, it really has performed exceptionally well. It's not overly cheap now. It's continued to perform.
It's interesting talking about those two companies because you've got the disruptor and the disrupted. So with Nine, do you reckon that they've got momentum now moving forward?
Yeah. I mean, you tend to find companies go through earnings upgrade and downgrade cycles. We are still a shareholder in Nine. We actually bought some more after the result because it just confirmed our thesis. Yeah. And we think there will be another catalyst, and that other catalyst will either be an earnings upgrade between now and the next result, or the next result will beat what the market's expecting. So and what we do is if we can't find those opportunities, we default to cash, and that cash level moves around, and as of last night we had about 35% of the portfolio in cash.
And you're quite happy to just sit there and wait for the opportunities to emerge, holding that?
Yeah, because we're close to the market and we're having sort of 2,000-odd company meetings a year, so we're collecting information all the time. Today there mightn't be any, we mightn't see any opportunities, but tomorrow there will. And so we can dial that cash up and down very quickly. Yeah. And when we're sitting in cash, we also look for sort of some more short-term trading opportunities. And we're talking about the volatility increasing over the last couple of months. Over the last 2 months, we sort of went from 24% cash to 42% cash, back down to the low 20s, and now we're mid 30s.
You're quite nimble in that respect.
In the cash part of the portfolio, which is broadly with WAM Capital, half is the undervalued growth companies, and the other half is more our trading.
Right.
Opportunities.
Okay. Yeah. You've done very well in capturing the turnaround in the services businesses that attend to the mining sector over the course of the last couple of years.
Yeah.
How are you seeing that cycle at the moment?
Yeah, we still think it's the early stages. Obviously, when there's any trend sort of developing, you have to be well positioned.
Yep.
Obviously, you try to buy before everyone else falls in love with it or pays too much for those companies.
Yep.
But we still think it's in the early days. Emeco was a stock that we're very keen on. There's been a lot of talk about in the press. We still are. We still,
index.
Yeah, exactly. There's another one. We still think it's in that early, in the early phase. So we'd say there's at least another 12, 15 months to go in the mining services, and that is a reasonable part of our portfolio.
And that's got a lot to do with the fact that the last 10 years has been all about mining companies taking costs out. Now they're beginning to ramp up a little bit.
Correct.
And so they're in the sweet spot at the moment.
That's what we hope. And then at some point in time, people will pay too much for those companies.
Yep.
And then, we're trying to buy probably an ugly duckling,
yep,
and sell it when the market thinks it's a swan and might never become a swan. That's sort of the opportunities we're looking for.
There have been a couple of underperformers.
There
always are.
And usually our underperformers, the interesting thing is we've looked at how we've performed. You're saying how well we've performed over a long period of time. And if you'd asked me 20 years ago whether I thought we could perform that well, I would say
you'd be cautious.
I would say I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
So we've exceeded our own expectations. But in terms of, with winners and losers, we did an analysis a number of years ago, just looking at how many stocks in a 12-month period we made money on and how many we lost money on.
Yeah.
And we actually lost money on 60% of our investments and made money on 40%.
Yeah.
Now, the big difference, and over that period, we'd outperformed, I think, by 8 or 9%. So you think, well, how can you do that? What it is, it's that discipline of, when something isn't working or you've made a mistake, then cutting your loss. And then on the other side, when things are going well, then understanding that and run your profits. And, we ended up finding that we were making multiples on our money when we'd made a right decision. And conversely, when we made a poor decision.
Right.
And to me, the funny thing about investing is, investing is not good for relationships. and I say that.
Because you have to spend a lot of time.
Not only the lot of time, but you have to work against your emotions.
Yes.
You spend a lot of time subduing your emotions. So you've got to, when you would normally be incredibly scared, you've got to be investing, and when you feel really good, you've got to shut down your emotions. You've got to accept, hey, I should be selling stocks now.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's tricky.
So with, say, for example, a Maysim or Qantas, names which didn't perform that well in the last half.
Yeah.
How do you look out over the course of the next 12 to 18 months on those names?
Yeah. We still like the Qantas story. For us, it's all about timing. And go back to the GFC. We're not in the GFC now, but when we're in the midst of that, no one, you don't know where a top of a market is or a bottom of a market, but you know that things will get better at some point in time. This is back in 08, 09. And we kept, with our trading part of the portfolio, we kept buying the banks, because financial services usually lead you out.
Yep.
Now, we've got to wait for the next fall in the market to be, to be positioned for that. And the weird thing is, after the market bottomed and rallied strongly, we actually still lost money in Macquarie Bank that year because a number of times we'd bought it at the wrong price.
Yep.
So to me, Qantas, great company. Unfortunately, we just bought it at the wrong time.
Yeah. Yep. So when you look out over the next, say, 18 months, what are the themes that are the most top of mind for you, given the fact that we're now through the bottom of the interest rate cycle?
Yes.
It's going to be a lot more challenging as we talk about rate increases.
Yep. What really worries me, about the investment market at the moment is the fact that, exactly what you're saying, rates increasing. Because, and it was interesting when we saw the volatility back in February, everyone's talking about, I love watching what the Americans are saying, and they're all saying, but the fundamentals are still good.
Yep.
And the fundamentals in the Australian market, globally we've got synchronised growth, and you'd assume the fundamentals will stay reasonably well.
Yep.
The problem will be when the when interest rates go up and the price earnings ratio of a company, say, goes from 25 times to 18 times, and you lose 35% of your capital.
Yep.
Now, so the company can still be growing at 10%, but the PEs contract. And to me, that is the big risk.
Yep.
We're in the US market. It's the third longest bull market ever. It's the mature stages of that bull market. So to me, don't overextend yourself.
Yep.
Make sure you've got your level of cash you're happy with.
Yep.
You've got to keep playing the game.
Yep.
We saw back in, there's a bit of grey there, here, there, bit here. Now, back in 87, you know, even at the start of them, start of 87 till the end of 87, even though there's a crash in the middle in the US market was still up 8%.
Yep.
So, yeah, I've got no idea when the top of the market is. Yeah, I've got no idea when the bottom is. All I know is we're getting closer to a top.
Yep.
But you've got to keep investing, because we know over the long term the market will give you about 10% per annum.
That's a good point to make. And yeah. I just want to get your thoughts on where we are locally as far as the Australian economy is concerned.
Yeah.
You know, households are leveraged.
Yeah.
You know, their balance sheets have been flattered by the increase in their asset prices. But households are exposed to higher interest rates locally. Does that worry you?
Yeah, it does. And the domestic economy hasn't been that great. I mean, it's interesting when you talk about domestic and global. You know, we're talking about our funds. We are starting at WAM Global, April, May this year. So that'll give us an opportunity to really get close to investing globally. We've got a new team that's joining us for that. But just looking back at the Australian economy, it is very patchy. Retail is tough.
Yep.
A lot of people have saying that, oh, look, Amazon, oh, is that the best Amazon will do?
Yep.
Yeah, and they're sort of sighing, a little bit of a sigh of relief.
Don't underestimate them.
Yep. Because that's how they come into the market, they work out the
look
market.
Yep.
Yeah, like Amazon Prime will probably be launched in 6 months' time. They'll again feel it all, and so like they're here to stay, and they will change the landscape. But there still are some retail companies that are going well. Yeah, so the Australian economy is not doing anywhere near as well as, say, the US or other global economies. And to me, what will be the driver here? I think it's going to be tough. I think we will still have growth, but not at the levels of elsewhere around the world.
Indeed. Jeff, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for your time.
No, thanks, Tom.
And thanks for joining us for the Executive Series.